This week, NPR News is looking at the way the climate affects what we eat and the way what we eat affects the climate. Farmers grow a lot of what we eat in this country using water from the Colorado River. As we've reported, a lot of cities in the West depend on that river, which is running dangerously low. So what could conserve some of the water? Aaron Stone, a climate reporter with LAist, investigated one proposal for NPR's Climate Solutions Week. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Okay, so what's the big idea?
So I read this opinion piece in the Los Angeles Times. It had the headline, "One Way to Save the Colorado River, Give Up One Hamburger a Week."
Ah.
I know that's controversial, but this piece cited the most detailed analysis yet of where Colorado River water goes. And that study found that nearly half of all the water we use from the river goes to growing hay to feed beef and dairy cows. So that's close to twice as much water as every city that relies on the river uses, including Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles, where I am.
Okay, so you add up the water used by all those giant cities, and it still isn't as much as they use to grow hay for cows. Is that right?
That's right. It's the combined use of every city.
So that's a lot of water. And you noted this is a politically edgy topic. People don't want to give up their beef, but you're saying only giving up a little would make a difference. How so?
Becoming a vegan isn't the answer necessarily. I spoke with the writer of that opinion piece, Andrew Mead. He's an engineer for the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which supplies Colorado River water to cities here.
Hmm.
And he crunched the numbers like this. The average American eats about 3 burgers a week. So if we ate just one less that's sourced from the Colorado River Basin, the amount of water saved would add up to just about how much Arizona, Nevada, and California have proposed to cut.
Ah, because those states are negotiating in this time of water shortages how to cut back. You're saying that just this one thing, in theory, would do it.
Yeah, and it does make sense on paper, and research backs it up. But reality is a little messier, right? So I headed to the place that gets the most Colorado River water of anyone, the Imperial Valley of Southern California. So that's where I met Trevor Tagg. He's got an office in the town of El Centro, which is right near the border with Mexico.
You picked a hell of a time to come down.
Steve, it was 115 degrees.
Ugh.
Yeah. So outside of town, Trevor runs a 3,200-acre farm with his dad and brother. And like most farmers there, they primarily grow alfalfa and other hay crops that they sell to dairies and beef operations in California and across the U.S.
Essentially, we're taking a 40-year-old company that was fairly beat up and trying to put it back in a position that will support my brother and I.
He says about 30% of their hay goes to countries such as China and Saudi Arabia. Exports from here to Asia and the Middle East have about tripled in the last 2 decades because of rising demand for beef and dairy.
Yeah. Come on, Luce.
Trevor's Australian Shepherd mix, Lucy, jumps in the truck as we head out to take a look at his farm.
So this time of year, middle of the summer, into the fall in Imperial County is when ground is getting prepped and when things are getting planted.
The soil in this part of the Colorado River Basin is really fertile because before the river was diverted to cities and farms, for thousands of years, it flooded here on its way to the sea.
We are the winter vegetable capital of North America.
Almost all the leafy greens and vegetables like broccoli that we eat in the winter are grown in the Imperial Valley and next door in Yuma, Arizona. Vegetables use less water than alfalfa, but alfalfa is more resilient to drought. Trevor says stricter water limits are changing his business. We drive to a field where he's prepping the land to grow onions instead of alfalfa, which requires more water.
Obviously, it's better for our ranch to have more diversification, but we're also creating a way for us to conserve water.
Trevor's also invested in pipe irrigation, which uses less water than traditional flood irrigation, but is also a lot more expensive to install. At times, he sublets alfalfa plots to other farmers who grow vegetables that use less water. That crop rotation makes for healthier soil. Healthy soil also needs less water.
We're probably more conscientious than anybody because we're directly related to the river, as opposed to, you know, with all due respect, someone who just turns on a tap or waters their lawn.
But it's not just crops in the Imperial Valley that use Colorado River water, which gets delivered through a system of canals here. There are also hundreds of thousands of cows.
Well, this here is T-Bone. He's protected class here, so we love T-Bone.
So he's not going to become a T-Bone.
No, not quite.
I went to meet Eric Brandt at his cattle ranch in the nearby town of Sealy. The family gets some of the most Colorado River water in the valley. On his ranch, Eric says they raise some 250 grass-fed beef cattle. They mostly sell to high-end organic markets in the U.S. Eric says they use their cow's manure as compost for the alfalfa, which reduces water use and greenhouse gas emissions. To meet water restrictions, they plan to recycle water at their beef processing plant. He says for him, it comes down to how ranchers and farmers, well, ranch and farm.
Would you rather consume beef or American products that are produced in the most efficient way versus importing from other countries that don't share the same values and don't have the same regulations?
Ultimately, producers like Eric Brandt and Trevor Tagg say part of the solution is for everyone to better understand how they get their food.
Okay, so now the bottom line. After doing all this reporting, did you conclude that one less hamburger a week really could save the Colorado River?
Honestly, Steve, it's really hard to say. The food system is so complicated, and it's not just beef. Actually, yogurt and cheese is what's driving more hay to be grown in the Colorado River Basin. But it is true that if we shift our diets just a little, that can have a long-term impact.
Aaron Stone is a climate reporter with LAist. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.